Conor O'Neill here from the Everyday Athlete Program, where we work with everyday athletes to optimize their training, nutrition, and psychology. In this podcast, we present ideas, concepts, and frameworks to help you in pursuit of your goals in those areas. Welcome to this week's Q&A episode. And the first question is, how would you plan a high carb day, in brackets, around 720 grams of carbs? I had a conversation with a client yesterday on how to make it easier to hit very high carbohydrate intake targets, and I wanted to share a few tips based on what we discussed. Firstly, I'd recommend getting in as much food as you can early on in the day, which will help you avoid having to cram a lot at night, and this also gives more time for the food to digest and assimilate. Secondly, is to consider using liquid calories such as fruit juice, milk, sports drinks, etc. with each meal, allowing you to easily add 30 plus grams of carbohydrate to each meal without filling you up. Thirdly, is to not be afraid of high carb, easily digestible foods that are usually potentially considered junk foods, such as breakfast cereals, sweets, etc. Albeit, it is not an excuse to eat all junk food, as many of these foods will contain a lot of fat. And finally, I recommend you reduce or at least don't increase your protein and fiber intake, as these will generally be more filling and make it more difficult for you to get more carbs in. Second question, is it worth buying weightlifting shoes? When it comes to whether or not you should buy weightlifting specific shoes, if you're wanting to really start getting into Olympic lifting or powerlifting, they're almost essential, similarly to having a pair of football boots if you want to play football. If you are not competing in those strength sports, but you are starting to really push the weight you're using when you're squatting, then you could potentially benefit also. But if your training is more general, then a general cross training shoe with a decently flat sole and good support will generally do the job. Third question then, how many carbs should I eat on non-training days? When it comes to how many carbs you should eat on non-training days, the first priority would be to work out how many calories you should be taking in on a daily basis on average. Then you can look at how much of that should come from carbohydrates on average. Once you know that, you can then start to adjust your carbohydrate intake on training versus non-training days, generally increasing your intake of carbs on training days by say 10 to 20% and decreasing accordingly on non-training days to maintain the same weekly and daily average. Fourth question then, is it worth keeping some cardio work in during a muscle gain phase? Even for those who have goals of gaining muscle, it is still worth including some cardio work. Having a strong aerobic base can generally potentially help your muscle gain goals, albeit indirectly. This can be improved through recovery time between sets, potentially more volume per set if getting out of breath has been a limited factor for you, and improve cardiovascular health in general, which is likely to mean improved energy levels, better recovery, and improved mood. However, it's important to keep the goal, and keeping any cardiovascular work to sensible volumes and intensity will allow you to see some of the benefits just discussed without it taking away from your ability to push yourself in the gym, which will obviously be the biggest driver of muscle gain. Final question then, I'm wanting to start working on mindset and psychology as an athlete. Where should I start? One of the most commonly studied frameworks related to psychology for athletes is psychological skills training, or PST. This was a big part of my own master's psychology thesis, and it involves four main elements. Number one, goal setting. Number two, self-talk. Number three, mental imagery. And number four, relaxation. I tend to prefer the term arousal regulation here to allow for the need to amp up rather than relax for specific goals. And each of these elements can be improved separately and have been shown to improve athletic performance in a variety of sports. Thanks for listening. And if you'd like to find out more about our program, The Everyday Athlete, and if you'd like to see testimonials from the lads we work with, you can go directly to the info page by clicking the link in the episode description.